Hello, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. This week, I wanted to talk about a couple of things because I was having a conversation with somebody recently who was asking me, I've listened to your podcast, we've had dinner together, we've had drinks together, and your mantra has always been, if you want to be a better photographer, you got to shoot more and you got to print more, and then you got to print even more than that. But if I wanted to think about something beyond that, let's say like I was shooting a lot, I was printing a lot, and I was still looking for some things that could potentially take my photography to the next level or my creativity to the next level, what would I come up with then? What would be my suggestion at that point for some other things you could add into your repertoire, into your tool belt that would really kind of help push that photography forward, push that creativity forward into the next level? And as much as I would like to say it would be printing, 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 and printing, I recognize that there's a bunch of other things we could actually do in our creative practice. So I wanted to spend a little time this week and go over five things I think you could do to add your creative practice and your photographic practice that would make a big difference in the quality and the type of photography that you're getting. Some of these I think are a little bit on the obvious side, but they're things that if you don't do and you don't do on a regular basis, they can fall out of habit. They can fall out of being something that you're doing on a regular basis, which can make it more of a challenge when it becomes time to redo it, because these are nothing but habits that we can do over and over again that I think would really make a difference. And for me, when I stop doing these things is when I really start to notice a dip in my own creative practice and in my own photographic practice. The first, which is really simple, which is carry a notebook and a pen or a pencil with you at all times, even if it's just a small like field notes, just something that can fit in your pocket, fit in your shoulder bag. The reason for that is you have no idea when creativity is going to happen. You have no idea when that next idea is going to happen. You have no idea when that next quote's going to happen. And to be able to write something down is really, really important because that way you won't forget it. And I oftentimes in my early creative practice thought, well, if it's a really important idea, it will come back around. It will resurface later. And one of the things I'm realizing, and it might just be because I'm getting older, I think we all have a limited capacity for the amount of information we're able to retain. We actually have like a hard drive. And the older you get, the more it fills up, and you have to choose to purge some information so that more information can come in. But one of the great things is writing things down acts as kind of like an instant backup. You don't have to retain the information because you can always come back to it at a later time. And there's other times that things that are just fleeting that don't seem that important may not come back around, but may be actually really significant and important. The reason it came to you in a brief flash was because there was a convergence of ideas, feelings, emotions. And unless those exact things happen again, you won't be able to recall the idea. So having that pen and paper is really, really critical because I think it allows you to, like I said, capture those ideas in the moment they happen. The other thing I think that the pen and paper allows you to do is it gives you a chance to always just doodle and to just kind of draw and sketch and just kind of play with a pen or play with a pencil on the paper. And just the release of that creative energy, I think you'll find is a significant shift in your ability to realize that you're always being a creative person. You always have the opportunity to be creative. The other thing I would do, or the next thing I would do, and this has been a one for me that I've really realized makes a huge difference in everything. It doesn't matter if I'm doing a woodworking project. It doesn't matter if I'm cleaning the house. It doesn't matter if I'm driving in the car. It doesn't matter if I'm working in the studio. But I call it the add a minute principle. And no matter what I'm doing, I'm going to do it a little bit more. I'm going to take that one extra step, and I'm basically adding a minute to the work. So if I think I'm going to go on ahead and I worked on a project and I need to now clean up the studio, I'm just going to take that extra minute to really make sure that I put everything back and I put everything away. That extra minute allows me to be set up the next time I come into the studio so that I'm not having to worry about cleaning. I'm not having to worry about where things are. I just know where they are. They've been taken care of. If I'm out shooting in the field, it's that I'm going to add one more minute. So that point where I think it's time to pack up the camera, it's time to go home, I'm going to give myself one more minute. I'm going to give myself two more minutes out there in the field just to see, does the light change a little bit? Does the sense of scene change a little bit? Do I get one more gesture out of that person if I'm doing a portrait? So I think I'm done, but can I get one more thing out of there? So that add a minute principle, just add one more minute to your shooting, add one more minute to your activity, whatever it is. I think you'd be surprised at how much more productive you'd be and how much more energized you can be by just giving yourself that little bit of extra. It's that little bit more of attention to detail. And at the end of the day, what makes us great photographers, what makes us great creative people is that we're putting forth that effort. We're putting forth that energy. And it doesn't take a lot to kick that last mile, to kick that last little step over the top to really make us think we've taken a big step forward. So I would add that additional minute. I would also encourage you to build your visual literacy by building your visual library. So this is one of the things where I love photographic books. I love photographic magazines. I love looking at photographic galleries. I love looking at motion pictures. But anywhere where you can increase your visual IQ, the knowledge you have about how to read, interpret, and understand images. If you go and you find somebody selling old versions of Lensworks magazine or View Camera magazine or Outdoor Photographer, whatever those magazines are that you subscribe to or find at the library, anything. If you're going to look at Vogue because you're into fashion, whatever it is, you just start to consume more and more. But increasing that visual library. You can also do this online, whether you use Evernote, you just use a folder, you use Google Doc, whatever you use, but you start to clip images that inspire you, images that resonate with you, images that you're trying to understand better. And you're using that as a way for you to process more information, a way for you to dive deeper into your understanding of the photograph and the meaning of a photograph, whether it's inspirational, whether it's just because of the way it makes you feel, whatever it is, but you're really increasing that library and then to revisit that library over and over again. Because as you get smarter about an image, you return to images that were in the library in the past, you have a new insight and a new way of understanding them. That's one of the reasons I love photo books so much. I get a photo book and I look through it and I'm mesmerized by it, I'm inspired by it, I learn from it. But then 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, 10 years later, I come back to that photo book again. And because I'm no longer the same person, I've been changed. I've been reshaped by my worldview, by my experiences. It's a whole new experience to look at those photographs. So I would say building your visual library is a big piece. The next one, so I've got kind of five here, we're on number four, is to have heart and integrity. And I think when it comes to working your creative practice, you've got to feel what you do and you have to have the integrity to be who you are and to be truthful to who you are and stand in that space of having the integrity of your convictions and of your beliefs. And it's one of the things that I think is a challenge now. And I don't think it's much different because of social media and because of the internet and because of the connectedness. I actually think there's a benefit from that. But I do think from a heart and an integrity standpoint, we sometimes get lazy in our approach where we put things out for review on social media. We sometimes maybe respond in a way that we shouldn't. And we look at how things around race, around religion, around culture, and all the issues we talk about with trolling on the internet, those don't come from a place of integrity and heart because a lot of those people would not talk to somebody face-to-face like that. And in your own photographic practice, when you look at a photograph, when you look at your own work, when you look at the work of others, are you working and judging that photograph from a place of heart and integrity? When you create your own work, is it truly to your heart and your own integrity? If there's something you truly believe, if there's something you believe about the world and you want to share with the world, are you putting into that into your photography? We've talked about that on this podcast, I don't know, dozens of times, about how important it is for you to be truthful in your practice, truthful in your creativity. And it goes back to that integrity. It goes back to that heart. So if you're not feeling it in your work and you don't believe there's an underlying truth to your work, you probably should change what you're photographing. But if you're being truthful to yourself, you have integrity in your work, you have heart in your work, and it doesn't matter then what you're photographing. A lot of people think about, oh, I have to photograph these big, important things in life. I have to worry about Syrian refugees and the environment. And really what I want to do is sit at my house and I want to photograph the plants in my garden. If that's true to your integrity and your heart, there's a whole universe that sits in those photographs. There's a whole micro universe that sits in those. There's a whole experience of a poet that sits in those flowers and those plants. And as long as that's true to who you are, that's ultimately all that matters. So having that heart and that integrity to really come forward and to really put yourself out there, I think is a big one. The last one, and I think this might be the thing I would probably encourage everybody, if you're going to do one, and I know pen and paper is really important. Adding the minute I've said is important, the visual library. But I think if you could eliminate distractions, this would be the biggest shift in your photographic practice because this works on multiple levels. One, I think you need to eliminate all the distractions that exist in your photographs. When you look at a photograph, one of the first things I do when I look at a photograph and people ask me to judge and critique a photograph, I think about what's the subject, what's the feeling, what's the passion, what's the story, what's the elements of the photograph, and then what distracts me from experiencing that. If there is a distraction in there, that's a problem in the photograph. So learning to look at your own photographs to see where is that distraction, what is the level of that distraction, and does that need to be removed from the photograph? Does that make for a stronger photograph? So that's one area. You can also eliminate distractions with gear and with equipment. The more complicated, the more gear you take out, the more difficult it is. So if you're going to go out and shoot for the day, it's one lens, it's one camera. If you're going to work in the studio, you start with one light before you start with four lights. You eliminate all the possible distractions and boil things down to their most simple form, their most basic form, and see if you can get out of your photography what you want at that most basic level. Because I think you're going to find the less you add to the equipment, the less you add to the gear, the more you're able to focus in on what's really important behind the photograph. And those distractions that were coming up before are also eliminated. The last piece of eliminate distractions is I would love as an exercise for you this week to realize how much you're distracted, to realize how much of your own head gets in your own way. Go to a public coffee shop, sit down, no phone, no book, no nothing in front of you, and sit for 30 minutes. You can have a cup of coffee. You can have a cup of tea, whatever you want drink in front of you, but that's it. And sit for 30 minutes. Eliminate all the distractions and start to realize what actually happens around you. How much do you notice? How much do you not notice? What do you see and experience in the world? Take that experience. Come back into your studio. If you are always working with background noise on, you have a football game or a baseball game or music playing in the background, what's it like to work without that? I absolutely love having jazz music on when I work in the analog darkroom. I have it on, it sits in the background, it plays. I actually think it helps my creativity practice. I have music on a lot in the studio when I'm shooting. I have that noise up, I like that. But there's also something sometimes that comes from it being still. So sometimes if you're finding yourself at a difficult juncture, a difficult point, and you're really struggling to move forward, maybe eliminating the distractions around you is critical. So learning to sit with the stillness, learning to sit with your own voice, learning to sit with your own ideas, learning to sit with your own sense of self without those distractions, you might find is a pretty big change in the way you might approach your creative practice. So those are the kind of things I would encourage you to try this week. The big one, like I said, is to eliminate those distractions. Go try the coffee shop exercise and just see what happens. But carrying a pen and paper, carrying that around so you can always record any creative activity, doing that one more minute, that one more thing each and every time, just add 1 minute to whatever the exercise is. It's not going to cause a huge delay in your day, but you'll be surprised about how much more creative and how much more fulfilling your photography is by giving yourself that one more minute behind the camera. Build your visual library. Really go out, find all those books, find all those images, find all that literature and consume that and return to it over and over again. The heart and integrity to really be who you are in your work, no matter how challenging it is, and to recognize that work that isn't about heart and integrity is probably not work that you want to consume and that you want to be around. Because I know if you're listening to this podcast, you're a person who is about heart and integrity and fidelity to who you are as a person. And finally, that eliminating the distractions, finding a way to sit with yourself and who you are. So go ahead and try one or all of those this week. I hope they're a great exercise. Like I said, for me, when I don't do these things, when I don't take the time to actually figure these things out, and when I find myself slipping on these practices, I see a definite downtick in my own photographic practices, whether that's the desire to pick up at the camera or the quality of the images that are coming out of the camera. So I would encourage you to try some of these if you're not doing them already and see what happens and give yourself a week or two just to see if it makes a big shift. Thanks for tuning in this week. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. I really do appreciate you listening to the podcast. We are moving into fall. We're going to do some great things coming up on the podcast. I've actually started working on a bunch of more interviews that are going to be coming out because I know everybody enjoyed the interviews when we did those earlier in the year. So we're going to work on another month of interviews. Those are coming up. Have a great week and I will see you next time.